Last week's parsha, there's a lot to talk about. We had a chumash here in it. I don't think it went up on YU Torah. I'm not sure why. Could be some technical difficulties. Most people don't really want to hear about the parsha afterwards. So if you want to listen, hopefully it should be up at some point. But just one thought that came through my mind about Parshas Yisro is that I think Yisro is often underrated as an individual. We don't really know much about him, but we do know his daughter married Moshe Rabbeinu. And we have to assume that Moshe Rabbeinu knew what he was doing when he married Yisro's daughter. He must have seen something, perhaps, that made her worthy of marrying into Moshe Rabbeinu's ultimate family. So what do we learn about Yisro that we can take from all of us, I think, and perhaps change our value system? I think we live in a world, at least in the Shidduchim world, where people have very warped ideas of what's important in the Shidduch scene. A reference for many, many people, for different people, Talmidim and other people. And the ridiculous questions that people ask are really indicative of how crazy this world has become. So I think, you know, if Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for a shidduch, I don't think Yisro would have been his first choice. Yisro was the Chayim Midyan, he was a priest. It's like, you know, having your daughter marry a Buddhist priest. You know, like, that's not exactly who you're running for. But Yisro had a very important midah. So one midah that Yisro had, we spoke about this in the Chumash, I don't want to elaborate any longer, was he had a midah of Akaras HaToiv. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that Yisro was the Rebbe of Akaras HaToiv. Yisro lived, embodied Akaras HaToiv, and that's a basic staple for every Jewish person, Koshkin and a Jewish spouse. Yisro, where does Yisro embody Akaras HaToiv? Because when Yisro was sitting at the meeting in Parsha Shmois of how to deal with the Jewish problem, and he hears from Paro that we should kill all the Jews, Yisro said, how could it be? They saved you. Yosef saved the economy, he saved your country, you're going to turn around? What bothered Yisro was the lack of Akaras HaToiv on Paro's angle. Then Reb Yaakov explains later on that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to town and he helps out his daughter at the well, so when the girls come home, Yisro says to them, why don't you invite him in? So most of them said, why would you invite in a stranger, a fugitive from another country? If your daughter brings that home, dad, look what I found at the well. I found a fugitive from another country who's a stranger. Yeah, invite him over for supper, right? But that was Yisro's attitude. Yisro's attitude is he did you a favor, you got to do another favor. So Reb Yaakov felt that the godless of Yisro was his Akaras HaToiv. But there's another mitzvah about Yisro which we often overlook, is Yisro embodied emes. Think about Yisro's life for a second. He lived in Egypt. He was a big hotshot in Egypt. He wasn't Stam, you know, a regular folk. He was a high-ranking member. And when he saw what was happening with the Jewish problem, he left. He gave it all up. Why? Because he felt it wasn't right. And why did Yisro come to join the Jewish people, leaving Midian and all his wealth and all his fame? Because he felt it wasn't right. Yisro embodied the idea of emes. A person has to ask himself, what is right? We live in a world today that sometimes gets pushed to the wayside. What's real emes? What matters in life, the Torah is telling us, is to have good midas. A person has to be a makir toiv, a person has to have emes. Those are midas that we should really look for. And that's what Moshe saw in Yisro. When Moshe came to marry Yisro's daughter, it wasn't just, okay, fine, you know, her father's a nice guy. He saw these deep-rooted midas in her, and therefore he felt that this would be a good idea, a good shidduch for him. You know, I got a call from someone many months ago. About a boy, a Talmud of mine, nice boy, wonderful boy, but the boy is not learning full time. I'm not even sure if he's learning part time. The father asks me, does he have Reb Chaim style of learning or Reb Shimon style of learning? Shemi Rachim. That's what counts in the Shidduch. I was going to tell the father. The father happened to be a Rosh Kol, so I don't want to be chutzpah predicting him. My first question was going to be, do you know the difference between Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon? Because I still struggle with the difference. Secondly, I can guarantee you one thing, he will not be a better changer of diapers if he's Reb Chaim's way of learning or Reb Shimon's way of learning. I can tell you that for sure. That I could tell you, but Edis Namanis. When you change a diaper, no one cares which way of learning you do. This is what people are asking. Shidduchim is ridiculous. This matters. First of all, Bishlam, if you tell me you're taking him as a Rosh Hashiva, good. This guy was no Rosh Hashiva. The boy wasn't going to be Rosh Hashiva. He wasn't fooling anyone. So what do you care? Teretz, you want to be able to show it off. You want to be able to show your neighbors, look what I got. It's a joke. The whole thing is ridiculous. It doesn't make you any better. The purpose of the Torah is to make us better. If your person learns Torah and doesn't become a better person, the whole thing is a waste. That's why at the end of the parasha, right after you get that says, we have a very strange mitzvah. That you're not allowed to have steps up to the mizbeach. Why? Because you don't want to insult them. They used to have, you know, robes instead of pants. So if your legs are going to be spread when you walk up the steps, you're going to insult the base. It's a busha to the mizbeach. So the Mefarshim point out, and what about to a person? If you have to be so careful not to insult the feelings of the Mizbeach, what about people? Kolshken people. So they say an amazing story of Chaim Moshe. Chaim Moshe was the Gadol Hador, hands down, right? He was the Gadol Hador prior to World War II. A very busy man, very important person. So he was once taking one of his very infamous walks. He used to go for famous walks for health reasons. And a guy stopped him and asked him for directions. And Reb Chaim Moshe said, you know, let me just show you how to get there. And he took him on a shtickle trip to where he needs to go. So one of the people asked Reb Chaim Moshe, why don't you just tell him and let him go on his way? So Reb Chaim Moshe said, because the guy has a stutter. Nabach, he stutters. And there's many steps to where he needs to go. So he's going to stop me, and then he's going to have to stop another three people on the way. And every time he stops, he's going to feel bad because they're going to notice that he stutters. So I'm just going to take him all the way there instead of having him be hurt. That's a gadol. That's someone who thinks about someone else's feelings. That's not just someone who says, oh, I'm busy, I got a paskin child. No. He thought that he wants to make a difference in this person's life. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, we all know Reb Chaim Soloveitchik is the great Reb Chaim, which we'll get to him today. Reb Chaim demanded on his kever to be written nothing more than an ish chesed. That was Reb Chaim's claim to fame, that he did chesed. Not that he was Reb Chaim, not that he changed the entire litvish style of learning, not that he was a rov and brisk. He didn't want any of that on his matzeva. He just wanted that he was an ish chesed. That was, he felt, was his entire tafka rachaim. There was a rov in Lodz, not so famous, Reb Yochaim Meizel. He was a rov in Lodz till 1912. He died in 1912. Fascinating yid. So someone once asked him, why don't you print any tshuvas? So he said, my tshuvas are helping Almanis and Yosemite. That's my tshuvas. I don't have time to write tshuvas. I'm busy helping the world. I'm busy helping Almanis, Yosemite, and those that need my help. So that's what the Torah is supposed to make us. The Torah is not just a thing onto its own. You know, this guy knows how to learn. This guy, you know, that's not what it is. What makes a person great is how the Torah changes who he is. So Yisrael is teaching us that sometimes we need to learn from an outsider. That what we thought was the most important thing in the world is me. This is the most important thing. How a person behaves, how he treats someone. They say an amazing story with the Tosha Rebbe. I became a big fan of the. I'm not a big into rabbis. Trust me, I'm the last. But the Tosha Rebbe is a fascinating yid. If you read his book, there's a great book about the Tosha Rebbe. He was a mamish about Moifus, the Tosha Rebbe. They are real special yid. So,
a million stories about.
Oh, it's unbelievable. His book is fantastic. I have the book. I read it again. Chazar, it's not so far from Montreal. He was a real Baal Moifus. Mamish, he was a special yid, the Tosha Rebbe. And they say that when he was younger, back in Hungary, he used to stay up a whole night learning Shulchan Aruch, Shas, and Paiskim. He also was a big Torah figure. So he once has a Maisa where he calls a rabbi up from New York and tells him to come visit him in Tosh. And he starts telling the rabbi, you can't be a rabbi if you're not nice to your wife. I don't know, it doesn't go into all the details, but the Tosh Rebbe had to explain to the fellow that if you can cause your wife pain, what type of rabbi are you? What type of rabbi is that? You're going to be a rabbi of a kehillah and you're not nice to your spouse? So often in life we lose sight on what's really important in Shidduchim and in our world. We're always looking there. Biggest lamda night, there's a bumper sticker. I love that bumper sticker. Are you a lamda? I just don't know what to do with that bumper sticker. I have no idea. Who are we supposed to ask about that? And does it matter if you are or if you're not? Like, so Yisrael reminds us to get back to what really matters in life, which is half the stuff that Klai Yisrael makes a big deal about does not matter. And the real things that matter, Reb Shach. Someone once asked Reb Shach, I'm worried. Someone asked Reb Shach, we know we had a share about this a while ago, that when a person's in the Shidduchim, they're supposed to look into the girl's brothers. Tiftak Baruch Yisrael. It's a Gemara. It's Rashi, Chotz, and Chumash. So someone asked Reb Shach that a guy was read to a girl, a wonderful girl, but her brother's off the derech. Should he go with the Shidduch? Reb Shach said, but is he emesdik? But is he still a good guy? I mean, is he honest? Why? Because Reb Shach said, no, Nebuch, what do you want? The guy got caught up with the wrong crowd. He had this year, and so he couldn't stay from. But if he's still a mensch, he still has midas, so then it's not a bad Shidduch. That's what Pshach said. Which means, according to Pshach, you could have two boys. One guy is sitting in yeshiva, but he's a ruthless person. And the other guy is off the derech, whatever it is, but he's an honest guy. He pays his taxes, he pays his workers, but he's not from. Okay, he's not from. That's a bad shidduch. Tell that to the world today, right? That's the world we live in today. Everyone's got everything upside down, backwards and forwards. It's all messed up. So that's, I think, the lesson of Yisrael. Yisrael taught us that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was looking. Moshe Rabbeinu was not picking a father who was the biggest Talmud Chacham. Kayi and Midyan, he probably did not know how to learn Yisrael. I mean, I think we can all agree, Yisrael did not know how to learn. But Moshe Rabbeinu didn't care. He wasn't looking for that. He was looking for a good, genuine person, and that's what he got. And he got, therefore, he produced, and that's what he married, and that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to lead the Jewish people. I think it's an important lesson for the world. Okay, everybody,
say. You could look at it the other way also. Look at Yisrael, who he wanted, even though he wasn't from.
Right. Yisrael knew what he was looking for. Yisrael knew what was going on.
Jeff,
okay.
From
Tosh, which is not far from Montreal.
Yeah, about 30 miles.
Right. Tosh is an independent town.
They made their own city.
Yeah.
But it's fairly recent, in other words.
Yeah. Oh. Not so about 30, 40 years. He's already gone a couple of years.
No, because there was a Tosh of a Rove who used to come to Miami for the winter.
Uh-huh. That probably was his father.
No, it could have been him.
It was him? It could be him.
60s and the 70s.
Yeah, it could have been him. Yeah. He came right after he left Hungary in the 50s. I can imagine. Yeah, it's probably him. Yeah. He's a fascinating. From all the books about the rabbis, he's definitely someone you want to read. It is. He's got some wild stories. The Tosh Rebbe. Same as this Tosh. It's a nice picture on it, an art scroll. Fast. You ever got to meet him? You never went to Tosh?
No.
So how was it?
Well, he didn't speak English.
Right.
So he had to go through one of his gabai.
Uh-huh.
It was a different. That was my. Wasn't in my.
How far is it from Montreal?
30 miles.
How far?
Maybe less.
From here, just to drive up to him.
Yeah?
So we can remember him.
Wow.
Who did?
Well, it's more north, right? It's more north?
Yeah.
More north. Wow.
Really?
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, everybody say. So let's go back. We were holding over here, middle of the sugya. We left off last time. We were talking about Reb Kiveger had a good summer. He had the Chassam Sofer. Okay, he did well. Okay, so Reb Kiveger had a Chiddush. And when we talk about Akiva Tzarech Hanocha, right? We had the Gemara said, if a guy throws an arrow and it goes 4 amos and it rips the shirt, so the Gemara says, there's Kim Leib Diramini. Why? Because Akiva Tzarech Hanocha. So we learned the Gemara, that means when the chetz goes 2 amos in 2 amos into the 4 amos, it rips the shirt in the 2 amos mark. So the argument was, but there's no Chiv Shabbos yet. So that was Akiva Tzarech Hanocha. So said Reb Kiveger, what happens if you zarit the chetz and it hits the shirt at the 4 amos mark, at the same time where it's munach? That's the end of its trip. It hits the shirt at 4 amos, it drops down, everything stops then. So says Reb Kiveger, in that case, you don't need any fancy Torah. You know why you have Kim Leib Diramini? Because the Chi of Mamanis and the Issa Shabbos all start at the same time. So we said that you see from Reb Kiveger understood that the Mahus of the Malach of Avar's Dalaramis is not the Dalaramis going. It's just the Akira and the Hanocha, with a Tanai that it has to go for Ramas. Therefore, says Reb Kiveger, once it hits the Hanocha, and that's when the Chiv Shabbos comes, and that's when the Kim Leib Diramini comes, I don't need any fancy reasons for why there's Kim Leib Diramini. There's Kim Leib Diramini because everything happens at the same time. So we mentioned in the past that Reb Chaim disagreed. Reb Chaim held that that's not the Malacha of Avaris Dal Ramas. According to Reb Chaim, Avaris Dal Ramas has 3 parts to it. It has Akira, Havara, and Hanocha. All 3 integral parts of the Malach. Not one more than the other. That's how we mentioned the Machloikis, Reb Chaim and Reb Kiveger. I just want to prove to you that L'chayr, there's a raya to this Machloikis in the Rishonim. For example, if you look over here, number 2, there's a Gemara in Shabbos. If you remember from the Malachas Shabbos, we know the Malachas Shabbos, so we know of the 39 Malachas, there's Hoitzah. Hoitzah mirishus l'rishus. That's the Malacha of Hoitzah. Havar's Dalaram is not counted as one of the 39 Malachas. So the Gemara has a whole discussion over here in Shabbos when we did Erevin here in our Tuesday night share, which we did many weeks on. So we discussed this idea of how do you know you're not allowed to be Mav? How do you know even that you're not allowed to be Moitzim Rishos L'Rishos? The Gemara has a whole half a omit of discussion. How do you know you're not allowed to go from one Rishos to another Rishos? So the Gemara has a rise from the Krashim and from Moshe Rabbeinu, a whole discussion back and forth. So the Gemara says, good, I know you're not allowed to be Moitzim Rishos L'Rishos. But frankly, Gemara number 2, Vesu Mav Dalaram is Berishos Rabbeinu. How do you know you're not allowed to be Mavid Al Ramas? It's a whole different concept. Good, so you have a Makar. How do you know you can't be Mavid Al Ramas? So the Gemara says, El Kol Al Ramas, Bishas Rabbim, Gemara, Gemira La. You're right. The Al Ramas is a tradition. Halacha Moshe Messina, it's a tradition that you're not allowed to be Mavid Al Ramas. Okay. So the Rambam.
I thought it was because the Al Ramas is the beginning of a Rishus.
Oh, that's because you know there's Bal Amor. But without that, well, we'll see. It's Machoikis. So, look, but L'Chayra, that's totally in what we just said 2 seconds ago. If the Malacha of Avor is Dalaramis, is Akira and Hanocha, and the Dalaramis are really just a Tanai, so then that's not true what you're saying. So if you look in the Baal Amor, number 3, on that Gemara in Shabbos, the Baal Amor writes, V'kulu told us the Moitzi Mirishus HaYachal M'shus HaRabim Ninu. First Chiddush of the Baal Amor writes that Avor is Dalaramis is a told of Hitzah. Meaning, if you want to know how he's supposed to be master a person who's Mavid Dal Ramas Bishas Rab, what do you tell him? Don't do what? So sometimes you want to be master him what the actual issue is. So if you master him, you tell him, don't do Haitzom Mirishos Lushos. I'm not doing Haitzom Mirishos Lushos. I'm being Mavid Dal Ramas. But says about Allah, no, it's a toldo. It's a subcategory of Haitz Mirishos Lushos. How is Havaris Dal Ramas a subcategory? Again, the idea of a toldo is that it's very similar to the Av. How is Havaris Dal Ramas similar to Moitz Mishus Rishus? Says the Baal Amor, David's Lomdus, Lefisha Abba Amish, Allah, the Bechom Mokim Kainus Loi. Because we know there's a rule called Dal Ramas, Allah, the Kainus Loi. Person has an Aveda. Person wants to sell you something. He throws it into your Dal Ramas. Your Dal Ramas is considered your Rishus. Uki Rishus Damien, it's like your Rishus. Uki Shemoitzi Chutza Lahem Bezerikai Bemavir. David says the Baal Amor, when you go outside the Dal Ramas, Kimoitzi Mirishus Ayoch, Rishus Arabim Damye. That's the equivalent of going from one area to another area. So what's the Baal Amor saying before Rishi? He's saying that the alumnus of Avar's Dal Ramas is really a fancy version of Moitzi Mirishus Rishus. Why? Because every Dal Ramas is a new Rishus. So when I take the object and I move it for Rishus, I'm in really be'etzem changing it from my Rishus to someone else's Rishus. And therefore, it's like going from one Rishus to another Rishus. But what do you see from this Baal Amor back to our sugya? This Baal Amor is mashma like Reb Kiveger or like Reb Chaim. This is mashma more like Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was saying that the Malach is all part of it. According to Reb Kiveger, the Malach is really Akira and Anocha, al Tanai that it goes Dal Ramas. That doesn't really work with this Baal Amor. So therefore, this Baal Amor is a chayra more stark a raya to Reb Chaim's way of understanding that the Malach is made up of Akira and Hanocha with a Havar Dal Ramas, because Havar Dal Ramas is the way your Moitzi Mirishos L'Rishos. Truth is, if you look in the Rambam in number 4, it's also come out first like that. The Rambam writes in number 4, V'chein lomdu mepi hashmua. Now, we all know the Rambam says mepi hashmua means we don't have it before somewhere. Shehamavi b'shus harabi mitchilas arba l'seif arba. If a person travels the beginning of four amas and the end of four amas, harehu kemoitzi merishus l'rishus. It's as if he's moitzi merishus l'rishus v'chayv. So both the Rambam and the Baal HaMor seem to be assuming that the lomdus of avoras dal amas is not just Akira and Hanocha, but it's the Havaris Dal Ramis is the idea, because that's what's moitzi you from one Rishus to another Rishus, and that's part and parcel of the Yisr. That is the Yisr. The Yisr is be moitzi Rishus to Rishus. Grad the Chiddush over here in Dal Ramis is that Dal Ramis is considered a new Rishus.
We're saying that even if all the Havaris within the same Rishus, once you know the Dal
Ramis. Right. I mean, even though I'm in a bigger Rishus Arabim, but even in a bigger Rishus Arabim, there's many little individual Rishusim. Every Dal Ramis is a separate Rishus. So therefore, says the Rambam and the Baal HaMor, that that's Pshat in the Gemara. When the Gemara says Hilchos HaGemirula, what's the Hilchos HaGemirula? The Hilchos HaGemirula is that every Dal Ramis of a person is a Rishus. And immediately, you're really going from Rishus to the Rishus. Okay, this was really from last week. So let's go right there. Back to the Gemara. I want to talk about another Geshmaka Sugya. Not about Kim Levi Duramine, for all those naysayers of Kim Levi Duramine. It's a different sugya which came up. Okay, they're not here. Okay, yeah. They're afraid we're going to learn Kim Levi Duramine. Okay, we should have told them we're not going to learn Kim Levi Duramine today. But in any case, it's a new sugya that's very much negated to other sugyas that we've discussed in other Mesachtas even. So let's get back into the Gemara first. Let's just remind ourselves very quickly. Number 5. Gufa Amar Rav Chizda Moidim Duchin Merkod Begenev Chayim Shachaveru. The guy steals Chaylev. Ochlen Yitzis Shuchayiv. Why is he Chayiv? Shukran is Chayiv. Begnev Koydim Shavad Yisra Chaylev. Because again, the Yisra Chaylev happens when he puts it down his mouth. The moment he picks up the Chaylev, he becomes a Ganev. It doesn't happen at the same time. For acting Gemara Leva Pligi the Ravavin, let's say he argues on Ravavin, Dom Ravavin, Hazari Chetz Mitchilas Arba L'Seif Arba. The guy throws a Chetz from the beginning of Dal Ramas till exact Dal Ramas. We spoke about why it has to be exactly Dal Ramas 2 weeks ago. The Kari Shiroim Balichos, and he rips a shirt on its way. Potter Shakir Tzorchanocha Hachanami here also Neima Hagbo Tzorich Achil. The Gemara's kash is, why don't you say that when you pick up the food to put it into your mouth, that's as necessary as Akir Tzorchanocha.
Why? Says when you pick it up, who says you have to eat it?
That was the Gemara's Havamim. Mm-hmm. So we were masked that there's two ways in Rishayim how to learn the Gemara's Kasha. Either the Gemara means physically or the Gemara means in Lomdus. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara answers, Hachyash, the bad comparison. Hasam over there, E'ef Shalah Hanocha B'lei Akira. It's impossible to have an object be rested unless it was first uprooted. And therefore, there's one way of two ways of saying it. Either you can say, and therefore, in Halacha, the Torah makes the Akira part of the Malacha, or in physicality, it is that way. But Hacha, when it comes to eating, E'ef Shalah Achila B'lei Hakba, you do not need to eat by only picking up something. It's not true. Why? Because if you want to, you can bend your head down and eat it. So what?
I had a question. So yeah. Is hakbah exclusively with your hands? In other words, if you're lifting it up from more of the plate by your mouth, even if you inhale it, right? You suck it in, right? That's also a form of hakbah.
Or maybe something. Being in your mouth should be a form of kinyan.
Exactly.
Good. Right? We're going to get to that. That's what I want to talk about today. That's today's topic. So let's see Rashi. What does Rashi say over here? What does it mean that he can bend down and eat off the table? It's like Rashi, di boy gochim, the matam, a gimel tvachim. If he wants to, he can lower his head lower than 3 tvachim, v'ochel, and eat the food that way. And what does he gain? It's like Rashi, ubatsim a gimel, and if you're under 3 tvachim, lav hakbohi, it does not constitute a maisa hakbo. So what does Rashi seem to be saying? Rashi seems to be saying that the point of the Gemara is that I don't need to lift something up in order to put it into my mouth. But Rashi's harping on this notion of 3 tvachim. Rashi's saying that if I can lift something less than 3 tvachim, that would not constitute a legal hagbah. And if it's not a legal hagbah, I'm not going to be chayfer ganef. Which means, according to Rashi, let's say a guy goes like this. He bends his head down and puts the food like this. The food never goes up 3 tvachim. Says Rashi, if you're not makbiyah gimel tvachim, there's no maisig neva. There's no maisig neva, then you're not going to be chayiv at that moment.
But wasn't this whole question in the context was you're not doing the two averas at the simultaneously,
correct.
Right? Because one, you're picking it up, so you're stealing it,
right?
And then you're eating it,
correct?
You're not supposed to eat,
right?
Those are two different acts,
right?
Not like the arrow where
one mice.
Where it's one mice, right? So here, there's no hagbah. It's because you could eat it and steal it at the same time. Is that what they're saying?
No, the point is you can when you're eating it, you're not yet stealing it because there's no. You only become a ganav when you do a mice hagbah. But if I don't need a mice hagbah to get it into my mouth, so then I can eat it without.
And is that true? If something comes into your rishus and you didn't put it there,
Frektosis.
You don't do anything. You keep it. That's also
Frektosis on Rashi. That's it, David. Okay. Frektosis number 7. What's going on with this Rashi? Rashi says that I can eat it without being magimot tvachim. If I'm not magimot tvachim, everything is good. Frektosis. What are you talking about? Pish Mekuntris, the Matam Gimel, the Loyevi Hagbog. And what does Rashi say? Rashi says that if you lift it less than Gimel Tvachim, you never did a Mais Hagbog. If you never did a Mais Hagbog, you're not Chayef Gneva. Right? Which means, I'm eating stolen goods, but because I never lifted it like this, it's okay. So Frank Tais is Vikasha. The Kasha the read, the Ma Shayech Hagbog, Bedova Shu Toifis Biyadeh. What do you mean, Hagbah? You're holding it in your hand. Ein l'cha kinyin g'doy l'mizu. The fact that you're holding the stolen thing in your hand, shouldn't that automatically be kainit? Yodoy kaina. Something is in my hand, it should be kainit. So what, because I didn't pick it up 3 tzach, I didn't make a maisa Hagbah, you're telling me I'm not kainit? The fact that it's in my hand should be a factor to make it be kainit.
Maybe there's a difference between, let's say, like a chatzar and a yard.
Oh, good, good. We're going to get to that today. Good, we're going to get to that today. I hope to go back to that tzugim b'metzia today. Okay, good. So in fact, the kasha, two kashas. You have to look at Tosis carefully. He has two kashas. He says, first of all, the mashai chagba b'davar shu toifes biyadoi oy bepiv. Frank Tosis, I don't get it. It ends up in his mouth. His mouth should be koine. He should be koine al's mouth. It sounds like from Rashi that as long as you're not magbiya gimot vachim, you're good to go. No, what are you talking about? The moment he puts it into his mouth is koine the gneva. And why don't you say, well, you can't swallow unless you put it into your mouth, so that should be some form of a connection. Rashi makes it sound like that if you can bypass the Gimel Tvachim, you're good to go. Why? Either it's in your hand, or says Taisvus is in your mouth. And what Taisvus is assuming? That Peshal Adam is kaina. That person's mouth
Rashi wants to show there has to be some kind of intent.
Oh, maybe. We're going to come back to that. Maybe Rashi also needed to have what's called a Maisa Gneva. Okay, good, we'll see. That was a choice that we had a while ago. So, in fact, Taisis the Vinasim Biyada Amar Rachmana. It says in the Chumash Vinasim Biyada. This is a throwback to when we learned Gittin. So we had over there the Gemara. It says by Gerishin, you put it in her hand. V'amina beGittin. The Gemara says in Gittin Zarech L'Toich Kalosa. The Mishnah said over there, if you throw it into her basket, let's say the lady's carrying a basket, you throw the get into her basket, not into her yad. So the Mishnah says of the Megureshes, Avada the Getzchal. Why? I. It's not in her hand. The answer is you don't need a hand. You need an extension of a hand, which is a basket. Says Taisa, but that bag is not lifted off the ground. The bag, she doesn't lift the bag up. She's carrying a purse, right? You throw the get into the purse and she continues walking. Says the Mishnah, she's Megureshes. Frak Taisa, what do you mean? There was no hagbah on the get. She never lifted the purse 3 tefachim after the get fell into it. Elamai says, Taisa, what do you see? There's no din that in order to be kainis, something you need to back be it. Gimel tefachim.
Maybe
it's
like
your
neighbor.
Maybe it's Rashi.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I apologize, everybody. I'm going to lose the battery soon.
Why, it can't plug in?
I don't know where to plug it in, too.
That you're Mazik and you're not a Ghana.
Good, we're going to go back to that. But David, I thought you were going to tell me the why is it a funny ride from Gerishin? From everyone, remember when we learned Tazayrik? Because it's not really a kinyan, it's Balkarcha. You're not really kind of the get the Isha. The Isha's never really kind of the get, because how can you be kind of something against your will? The Torah says, V'nasam Yadim is who? The Torah never says a Maisa Kinyan. Okay, we'll come back to all that. But Taisus' point is that he sees from those Gemaras that there's no din, that you need to be Magbiya something in order to make it yours.
Was that a general, forgetting the mouth of the get issue, in Akira, was that a general call we had that it always has to be Gimel Tefachim?
Oh, so. Akira? No, we're talking about over here to be koyin al zganif. Right. To be koyin al zganif, Rashi says you need to lift it up and give him a tefachim. Like I steal something. Rashi's making some form of a chiddush. That there's a din you have to make up. You have to be magbir gimel tefachim. It's not clear where that comes from. So Frak Taisis, in the Gemara in Gittin, you don't find that. Avagav de mayir b'shus habal. Even though that Gemara over there is talking about where the basket is not sitting on her, the basket is sitting in the husband's possession. Right? The lady left her purse in the husband's rishus. So the husband puts the get into the lady's purse that's being munach on the property of the husband. So Taisha says, "Va'afilu man the boy hasam tluya." Even that man, the armor that holds it, has to be hanging. Ein matzich shtei goyev gimel. It doesn't have to be hanging because you need it to be ma'aseh gimel tochem. It just has to be off his possession because you can't make a mesira to his rishos to her basket that's placed on her floor. So you need to have the basket raised up, the purse raised up. So this way, the basket is not sitting on the floor of his house. But says Taisvus, there's no din anywhere that you need to have a hagbah of the chayfetz. So Frak Taisvus, two kashas. First of all, if the chayfetz is in his hand, that should be the gresta for a version of a kinyan. And if not, let the chayfetz be in his peh. He eats it. That should also be kinyan. Uloi Motzonu, says Taisvus, we don't find anywhere that there's a din that in order to be kainis, you need magbi a gimel tvach. So why is Rashi so hung up on this notion that it has to have hagbah gimel tvach? So because of that, the Taisvus disagrees with Rashi. He says, no. Then Elonir Lari Dahi Prusha, Honu Psha in the Gemara. The boy gachum v'ocha, what does it mean that if you can bend your head? Dim Huber Reish Kono, let's say the food is on top of a stick. You can then stuff it all the way, bypass the whole mouth. Go straight down into the throat. Bypass the whole mouth. It's never munach in the mouth. If it would be munach in the mouth, and you have a kasha that it's kain in the mouth. No, it goes straight to the throat. But that's not what happened in the Gemara over here. Most normal people don't eat that way. Most people steal chela, they pick up the chela and put it in their mouth. This guy, you're telling me that the chela was sitting on a stick, and the guy stuck his head into the stick, and the stick went straight to the back of his throat. Exactly. Says, but the point of Taisis is that you could. It's physically possible. So therefore, lav tzarech achilhi. Therefore, once it's possible to eat without lifting, without touching, without chewing, without being into your mouth, the mela that makes all those processes no longer necessary for the iser. And therefore, that's why it's different than the case of akira tzarech hanach. Then Taisus ends off, v'hu adin nave matzil meima, the efshel la'achila b'la'akbar, the Gemara said, could have said another svar, ki goyin im tachva le'chaveri. His friend stuck it down his throat, going back to our old sugi that we had. So either he comes with a stick, and the chaleb is sitting on top of a stick and he sticks his head into the stick and it goes all the way to his throat. Or his friend sticks it down and therefore never goes through the mouth. Okay, we'll come back to Taisus maybe at some point. But let's talk about Rashi for a second. What's Rashi's notion? Rashi's notion is that you're not chai for gneva unless you're magbir gimel tfachim. Which means a guy could pick up a dover ganav, walk around with it for a whole day, but he never goes like this. He's never chai v'al ganav. Taisus says that's ridiculous. How could that be? And Taisus brings a raya from Gittin. You see, by Gittin, there's no such thing you have to be magbir gimel tfachim. So the Shittim Mukubetzes comes up over here with a stickle Torah. Number 8. Says the Shittim Mukubetzes, V'nira V'li Nivra Diri Rashi Iker. Says the Shittim Mukubetzes, no, he likes Rashi's Pshat better than Taisus's Pshat. Why? Klal B'shmaitzin D'le'el D'havadei Ein Derech K'niya B'peh. This needs some Pshat. He says it's not Derech K'niya B'peh. It's not normal to be kind of things with your mouth.
Seems to be taking the strangest
possible... No, Taisus is going to the opposite extreme. Well, but the question is, why is your peh not kind? Why is your peh not kaina? The fact that, why is your peh any different than your yad? And for that matter, let's be more, let's see someone's ear. Right? Today in the marijuana smuggling business, they smuggle in basically any cavity you have. Would you be kaina if you put something in your ear? Forget peh. Put it in your ear. You steal a diamond, you put it into your ear. Would that be kinyan geneva? I don't know. Why is it different than your mouth? Your mouth is an extremity, a body part of yours. Why is it different than your hand? And puts it, in his armpit, whatever. So Taisus says, the Shittim Mukubetzes says, no, it's not derech to be kainah b'peh. The way a person is normally kainah chelev is not by putting it into his mouth, it's by putting it into his hand. So what does the Shittah seem to be saying? He seems to be saying, that's why Rashi held, there's no kinyan peh over here. Not that there is no such thing called kinyan peh, but it has to be what's the normal way to be kainah. The normal way to steal chelev, that what?
You have to do a ma'aseh that shows the intent to be stealing.
Right. So I'm not sure what he means by his when he says that.
If that's Pshat Rashi, why is Rashi adding the three tfakim is irrelevant?
Right. No. So this is coming for the second part of Tosfos. About why is he not kain al peh? On that says the Shittim Mukubetzes says since it's not derech to be kain of a peh, that's why he's not kain of a peh. Meaning it's not the normal way to be kain of things. The guy wants to take chelev, he doesn't put it into his mouth. Picks it up into his hand. Now, you can declare, let's say if Levita guy wants to steal jewelry, maybe that's the way Yitaka does put it. He does put it in certain body cavities to hide it. I mean, that is the derech. I don't know. That's what the Shita writes. But then he goes weiter. He says, "La'filu yadoi, even kinyan yad, hotzuchru lil moit sheyikne." Says the Shita, don't take for such a given that yad is kinyan. What was Taisus's first kasha? It's in his hand. Says the Shita, so what? Who says that things that are in someone's hands are automatically kinyan? Why? Because we need a mefurish limud. Mahad amar rav liyin shabbos yadoi shaladim chashuv la kedal aramis hukamay shepiash rashi lekam mishmaitzid megarer. Says the Shita, maybe Taisus is wrong. Maybe there is no such thing called Yad Shaladim Kaina. Wherever Yad is Kaina, it needs a special limud. Don't just take for a given. Oh yeah, it's his hand, it's Kaina. Says the Shita, maybe not. Maybe the only way to be Kaina things are either by lifting, by schlepping, umesira, ugedoyle shabakulam hagba. The hadvarim shedarkam sheniknim ela bahagba. And those are only things that are not normally bahagba. The hilkach in the midim ikitin the dark yaknios. Says the Shita, mehechetesa, not so fast. He's addressing both of Taisus's kashas. First kasha of Taisus was, well, if it's in his hand, he's got to be kainah. Says the Shita, who said? Why are you taking for such a given that dover shebiyodai is kainah? Secondly, ayat's peh, let him be kainah with the food in his mouth. Says the Shita, who says peh is kainah? Peh is only kainah, things which are normally put into the mouth. Again, when you're trying to steal it. Obviously, chelev is eaten. Eaten is only in your mouth. But not when you're trying to steal it. If you ask most chelev robbers, how do they steal chelev? The answer is not in their mouth. They steal it with their hands, put it in their pocket, they put it in their shirt. They don't steal it with their mouth. The difference is a shita, even though maybe peh is koine, but since it's not darkoi to be koine be peh, for some reason that's why it's not going to be koine over here.
So it's
now,
probably in the item that you're stealing.
That's what it sounds like.
So just bring it up to modern times, if you steal from somebody's bank account electronically, right?
Right.
So I was thinking somebody robbing me on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? You... I don't know if it's true or not, but if you use a computer on Shabbos, if that's cool.
It's only drop on it. It's only drop on it. Right. It's only drop on it.
If you hit the button...
Right. There's a transfer.
But at the same time, that's the Geneva.
Right.
Is that...
Right, that would be the chiv, right? The moment that the money hits into your account,
and it's instantaneous.
That's right.
So there would be kimli
rabbi nechir, if you say it that way. Yeah,
and there would be a kinyan, even though there's
no meister kinyan. Well, that
your accountant,
right. That would be some form of a chatzar. That would have to be like some form of a chatzar, right?
What's electronic? I mean.
Right. So electronically, it's your possession, right? It has to be your rishus, something like that.
What is the
that's the gate for Shabbos purposes. He's using that to be mad for Shabbos, why it works. Okay. Now, what's the... Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is there a way that you could host it and record on your phone?
I don't know how to do that. I can't record it for the...
Does anyone... By the way, I'm getting from the three people that were on Zoom. Does anybody here know...
It's a shame. There's an outlet. There's an outlet all the way down there.
I know. It's not up to code, like David said.
That's how could you?
Does anyone know how to use Zoom that I can host it on my phone? Because the three people are emailing me that they're dropped out.
I feel bad. I don't know where the outlet is. There's only one outlet in the whole room.
Zoom over here.
There's an outlet over there. They can hear it, probably. They can hear it if we put it all the way down there.
Over there. What's the difference?
Okay, yeah, so
they can listen.
Right.
We'll find out.
Where's the outlet, David?
I thought
it
was down there.
It's right over there, by one of the benches. I looked over there, I couldn't find it.
Who's in charge of the design of the school, David?
No, Bruce Loker. Blame him. Is this where you plug it in? How do you get back on, though? You're going to have to go there.
I'm going to have to call back on.
I hope you shut it there.
No, well, I can't start it. It's going to...
Right?
I'm sorry?
With Yad. Yeah. You still need carbona. Somebody puts it in Yad and you have no carbona.
We'll get to that. Machoikis. So, we'll get to that. Hold off. Like we'll see.
Okay, right there.
But therefore, by all the other places, by Peh, you know, that also would need carbona. In other words, even
is that
if Peh is not the normal place, but if you have carbona to steal it with your Peh or with your ear, it should
maybe, depending how you read the Shita. When the Shita says, ain't derech, and derech k'niya b'peh. What does that mean? In derech k'niya b'peh, and therefore what?
You don't have any kavanah or das, it won't work.
Or it means that even when you have kavanah, it's b'chol not a way of being making my zakin.
But that doesn't make any sense.
Why? Because you can't just make up kinyan because you decided that, you know, if I carry something on my back of my elbow, I decide that's kinyan. It has to fit one of the categories. We'll see. So let's see what.
Rabbi, do you know how to get? I can't get onto your computer.
You do. Just go to the password. It's 1345.
No, that means you need your code.
It does. It's not there?
You won't know it now.
You gotta turn it on first.
You have to change it.
You have to change it.
Yeah.
You
gotta turn it on first, Michael.
I did.
The other password is Michael.
Gotta make a money first.
Isn't it 1836 everywhere?
Okay.
Oh, 18, right?
Okay,
Ish Kodesh.
Oh.
Is it 6:13? I think it's 6:13 in the minute. So many different codes, and they change it. I haven't been there for a while. I heard they changed everything inside. They made it all code for what? No benches, anything. It's like a shtiebel. Oh yeah, I haven't been there all the time, but times in the minute, last month or two.
They took all the benches out and they made it into, this must be at least 2 years or so. I haven't been there since the beginning of the COVID.
Oh, yeah, he's very good. He's amazing. I actually just met Rabbi Gladstein this morning. Super guy also. Okay, fine. Hold on. Told me at Dvar Torah, like, my head was exploding.
Moshe, Joe, can you hear me?
Apologize for the delay.
Okay.
So the Shita Mekubetzes is learning in Rashi.
Okay, you won't be able to.
I can't scream that loud, but okay. So the problem is, if you remember, we had a Gemara on Amud Beis where the Gemara talked about being kinyan with your peh. What was the Shita's answer? The Shita's answer is that Rashi holds there's no such thing called kinyan bepeh. If you remember, we had a Gemara, the Gemara of Kasha, that when you put it into your mouth and you chew, you're kinyan. What do you mean? I thought there's no geneva with your peh. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, number 8, the second half. Umikol makem mashma, de ain derech kniya bepeh. It means that's not normal to be kind of a peh. I've heard Akshino Lael, we learned the Gemara number Beis. The Matzi Lahadure Nahade. The Gemara said, well, if you're able to spit it up, you have to spit it up. Therefore, what? Kvatir to Rashi, Bilushoyne Shekosav. Iboile Lahadure Vichule Adre. And if you don't spit it up, Mahishaita Iu Mazik. Remember that Rashi? We were bothered with that Rashi. Rashi said that if something goes into your mouth and you could spit it up and you don't spit it up, you know what we get you for? We get you for Mazik. Why don't we get you for Gneva? The answer is because there's no Kinyani Gneva Bepeh. Says the Shidim Kobetzes. Pirush le Perushai. Lab midin Kanye Parchinon. We're not asking that you should be Kinyav. A loy man say, the Chile Hadjo, and you don't spit it out. Kanye Bepumei. Ukumai Shikasram Aforshim. The Havadai in Derech Knia Bekachu Ukidachsivness. Like I told you, you can't be Kinyav with Peh. Ella midin Mazik Huda Sino Allah. It must just be Mazik. Debepiv Memoas. When it gets into your mouth, it gets disgusting. It's not any more fit for the owners. Lachichai midin Mazik. So therefore says the Shita Lishitosai. There is no such Kenya called Kenya Pe. It doesn't exist.
It just says Ein Derech. It doesn't say Ein
Derech. Now, so what does that mean? What does that mean, Ein Derech?
Derech Olam, because these cases are so...
Right, so does that mean it could be way? It could be a way that Pe is Kenya?
Yeah, it's just that I'm giving you examples in the Gemara that's Derech Bnei Adam to do.
Right, so the question is, why is Pe any different than extension of me? My mouth is an extension of me. So why is my hand, my arm, my foot any different than my mouth? Could be they're more exterior type than, as opposed to a mouth. So according to the Shita Mekubetzes, according to Rashi, there is no such Kenyan called Kenyan Pet. It doesn't exist. It's not on the charts. No such Kenyan called Kenyan Pet. The only thing that happens in the mouth. So let's say a guy does something with his mouth. Again, if you get picking it up, because you're picking it up, you're chayv al sagbo. But let's say a guy goes like this with his mouth and he's mazik something. He's not a ganif. He can't be a ganif. Because according to these Rishonim, there's no gneva. There's no mazik gneva on your mouth. We can only get you for mazik. Okay. What did Taisvis have a problem with Rashi? Taisvis said, I'll prove to you from the Gemara and Gittin that you don't need to be Magbia the Get in order to be Kain of the Get. So we pointed out that there's obviously a very, very faulty comparison between Get and Gneva. Says the Pnei Yeshua number 9, Kvakadmani Moiri Zikeni, quotes from his Zayda, Besefer Magini Shloima, because of Devadai Minosam Biyoda Dichsiv Beget Ein Raya. Says the Pnei Yeshua, don't bring me a Raya from Get. That you don't need to be Magbiya to get Gimel Tvachim, and therefore you don't need to be Magbiya Gneva Gimel Tvachim. Why? To get Ein Raya, the Shani Hasan, the Baal Korcha Miska Reshes. Says the Pnei Yeshua, get is a totally different circuit. Get is not about Kinyonim. Haraya, you can't be Kinyonim, something against your will. So how does a get work? The answer is we saw already from the Tzais when we learned the 8th Parak of Gittin many, many years ago. A get is about a Maisa Nesina. The Torah demands v'nosam biyadi, not that she's kainah the get. She's never kainah the get. She never owns that paper. So the Torah says, just give it to her. Sefer says the Pnei Yeshua, what are you bringing me a raya? Tais is bringing me a raya from Mishnah Gittin that the Isha doesn't have to be a magbiyah the get. Oh, so if the Isha doesn't have to be a magbiyah the get, you don't have to be a magbiyah the gneva. Says the Pnei Yeshua, what are you talking about? By get, you don't have to be a magbiyah it because you don't have to be kainah the get. That's why you don't have to lift it up. But by gneva, you have to be kainah. That's why you need to be magbiyah. Now, what can we answer to the Pnei Yeshua's kasha? I think there's a very good answer. Maybe Gneva, you're also not really Kaina the Gneva. So what is Kinyani Gneva? You're not really Kaina the object. The Torah is Mechayiv you. The Torah is Mechayiv you for the object. The Torah gives you Achrayus on the object. You're not really Kaina it. You can't be Kaina in Yerim's Achayfetz. It's still Yerim's. What the Torah says is that when you take someone else's Achayfetz, we're Mechayiv you, Achrayus, as if it becomes yours. Like, you know, Chometz Achashay Shois, Borbishos Arabim. These types of bailus. It's not really yours. It's yours to the extent that you're responsible for it. So maybe it's just like get a little bit. It's not really yours. The Torah is mechayev you. So maybe the same way the Torah says that when you nos and get leishtoi, this is the rules. So maybe the same rules apply to Geneva also. You don't need the same type of maisa kinyan that you do first. So maybe it is comparable.
You need a kinyan by Geneva.
What does it mean to meet you? You need a maisa kinyan, 100%. But that makes it yours or that makes you achroi for it?
No, it makes it yours.
It does?
Is this kinyan different than other kinyan?
Because you can't be kind of someone else's thing.
Yes, you can.
You
that's
could.
That's why you
chayiv kefil. No, you chayiv kefil. The Torah is mechayiv you for a kefil. I'm not disagreeing with you. That's because you took Yenam's chayfits. Does it really become yours?
So when somebody
not really yours. It's not really yours. It's still not yours. You can't be makdish it.
Kenyan, a real Kenyan.
Exactly.
Philosophically,
which transfers ownership. Transfers bailus.
Right.
As opposed to a Geneva type of Kenyan, it's not really a transfer of bailus.
Of course, the original owner remains the owner.
That's right. The Torah is mechayiv you.
No,
you chayiv al
Mazik.
No, the chiddush of Gneva.
I don't do anything, and he drops his soup. So So I was goring him.
That's a bishayel grama garmi, right?
But I'm still chayav. But I'm chayav alts.
I'm not sure.
Mazik maybe not.
No, for sure not gonna. No, 100%. But my point is, it could be that even kinyan geneva, not the pshat that it becomes yours. The Torah is mechayev you as if it's yours.
In order to trigger geneva, you have to do something that is the equivalent of a kinyan.
Or maybe, or the Torah says that if you do certain acts, the Torah makes you like the Bible.
Does anyone use a lashon hara as bialess?
By geneva?
Yeah, no. It's just got to show that you're the owner.
Right,
in other words, it's not pshat that you actually have to do the kinyan.
I don't think you really become the owner because it's not yours.
You can't use it for kedushin. You can't.
No,
you can't.
Unless you have shina rishus and all the other stuff. We're talking about preliminary, right? The early stages, right? If you have years and shina rishus, then it becomes yours. But just the original stage, you're just a ganav. It's not yours. So why the Torah mechayiv me for taking yanim's chayiv? The Torah mechayiv you. So then I can hear maybe it's more similar to get than it is to a metziah.
Is that why if you if he didn't have the
exactly.
in the first place?
That's right. That was that machloekis we had between the Ktsois and the Sivis. If Again of Menaganov, what more did you do? The first guy was never, it was still the Rishos of the first guy originally. All you did was be marchikit more. Terry says, when you become a Ganav, you don't really own it. Unless you have Yirush and Shina Rishos and those other elements. But it's Stam Geneva, it doesn't become yours. The Torah is mechayiv you to pay or to be achroy for it. Doesn't make it yours. So then I thought maybe that's more comparable to the case of get. The get also doesn't become hers. But the Torah has certain requirements of how you create a chalois gerushin. So maybe the Torah has certain requirements. How do you become a ganev through a maisa ganev?
Why don't we just, I know it's been mentioned in the past, I'm chayav al tzmazik. Why do I have to be an owner? I guess if I'm a kaddish, I want to.
Because by chaylev.
No, in other words, in just a case, why don't I say that the lumbus behind why it's low signal, low signal, whatever it is, because I'm depriving somebody of something that was his. I don't care if I have a kinyan, not a kinyan, whatever it was.
Right, because the surim will be different.
What?
A mazik is different than a ganav.
So how do we know that a ganav isn't a chayav al tzmazik?
Right, because we know there's a parasha of the Torah called Dalvei and Kefo that only applies to a ganav. And how do you become a ganav with doing a maisa ganeva? Mashaik and a mazik, you don't need to do a maisa ganeva. You just have to do an act of destructiveness. Act automatically makes you a mazik. But there's another Shita Mekubetzes I want to talk about. Daf Lamed Aleph. The Shita Mekubetzes wants to tie in like this. The Afa Gavdiel, then you get Ksiv and Nasan Biyodo. Again, what was Taisus's point? Taisus's point that we have a Sugya in Gerishin where it says by get, give it to her, you don't need to be Magbiya Gimel Tvachim. So if I don't need to be Magbiya, the get Gimel Tvachim, why do I have to be Magbiya the Chel of Gimel Tvachim? Says the Sheet, the Hainu Dafka Kish Magbiya Shloisha Tvachim, Mina Aretz. So first of all, he wants to say maybe not. Maybe every time an Isha is Migureshis, she has to lift the get of Gimel Tvachim, which is a Chiddish. Aye, what about the case of the basket? Vahi de koloso shani mishum dahava hakli shaloh vekanya medin rishuso. Says the Shita, Taisus asked me about the case of the basket. The basket is not the yad. When the husband throws the get into the woman's basket, that's koina als rishusai. That's her extension of her rishus. Avu kishiyodo somuch lo'aret havamino kilova dami ubatal agavari. Unbelievable. Says the Shita, but if a lady would have her hand lower than 3 tefachim, it's ki'ilu, it's on the ground, and it's not a ma'isa hagbah. It's not yad. But if she has a basket, which is an extension of her, sitting on the ground, that you can throw into the basket with no problem.
But didn't you say you threw it into her chatzar?
Right. If you throw it into her chatzar, she's kaina.
But it's on the ground.
Right, exactly. Every chatzar is on the ground, right?
Between that and a basket.
So that's what we're saying. A basket is like that. But a hand is different.
Oh.
A hand needs to go up 3 tefachim. Unbelievable. Says the Shita Mekubetzes is a fundamental difference between her hand and a basket. Her basket is an extension of her rishus. Just like, again, if you put it in her backyard, it's going to be on the ground. That's what her backyard is, right? Her chatzar is on the floor. Same thing with her basket can also be on the floor. But her hand, if her hand is not lamala megimel tvachim, it's bottled to the ground. Kalovet dambi. He's throwing in love it over here. This is the Shita Mekubetzes. Shita Mekubetzes is saying that if her hand is not higher than gimel tvachim, it's kilo, it's on the ground. What's the pshat?
Why is her hand not part of her rishut?
Oh, so l'chay, you see from over here that he's splitting the hand and yad and chatzah, which is also again b'metziah. How does chatzah work? Is chatzah mitam yad or is chatzah mitam shlichus? Famous gemara b'metziah. We touched upon it probably when we learned gittin. The gemara wants to know how does chatzah work.
We also learned b'metziah at one point. Not that part.
Right. We did daf yudin when we did hazari. We spent a lot of time. The gemara is shaila chatzah mitam yad, chatzah mitam shlichus. How does a chatzah work? Person has a backyard. So the backyard is kaina aveda, it's kaina mitzia, it's kaina gneva if he wants, it's kaina get. How does that work? So the one wants to know, is it mitam yad? Which would literally mean it's an extension of your arm. Just like my arm is kaina, and maybe my mouth is kaina, so my backyard is kaina. Or is it shlichus? That my chatzar is a messenger of me. That's the two tzadim in the Gemara. So the Shita Mekubetzes seems to be saying over here that your hand is working different than your basket and then your backyard. Your hand has to go up Gimel Tvachim while your basket stays monach on the ground. What's the pshat? So if you look over here, number 11, Reb David Kviat writes, Nira Yeshloim Medin Rashi Yizbar that Kinyan Hu Medin Yad. He wants to say that what do we gain from this Shita Mekubetzes? This Shita Mekubetzes says that according to Rashi, you need to always pick up a get Gimel Tvachim in order to be kainit, which is an unbelievable chiddush in Hilchos Gerushin. That according to Rashi, if a guy puts the get into each his hand, and she never moves, she goes like this, and then she drops it. She's not kainit the get. She's not divorced. Because you need a magbia, Gimel Tvachim.
But if her basket was hanging,
but if her basket was hanging on the floor, and he throws it into her basket, then she's good to go.
By the way, you have to raise it three tefachim.
Yeah,
or it has to be three tefachim off the floor.
So that's
your hand's already three tefachim.
Right. So that was the end of the Shinu Gretz. He writes Avol Kishiyoda Somuch La'aretz. When her hand is already close to the ground, Havamina Kilovadomi. I would say it's like Lovad Ubatal Agavare. Meaning, if her hand would be like this, and you put it into her hand like this, no good.
But if it's above
right.
three
so,
to begin with,
right? It sounds like if it's above three to start off, it might be okay. That's what it sounds like. So says Reb David Kviat, Barak diyad loy mahani mipachus megimel. He wants to say gavaldik chiddush. He wants to say, you know why Rashi is so makbir about being makbir tvachim? It's not because you need to lift up the object. It's because you need to have your hand above three tvachim from the ground. Because if your hand is within three tvachim of the ground, your hand is monach on the ground. That's what Rashi holds. Therefore, according to Rashi, in order for Kinyan Yad to function, it's not the pshat that I need to be magbiah the chayfetz because the chayfetz needs to be lifted up. It's because if my hand is not three tefachim above the ground, then my hand is on the ground. And if my hand is on the ground, then the chayfetz is on the ground.
That's only if she's standing.
So that's chutzar anyway.
Where is she standing? And whose rishus is she standing?
She's in his rishus.
Same way. Right. She was in her
and she has a fallback of chutzar, right. No, but he was talking about for Geneva. If I want to steal chaylev, and the way I pick up the chaylev is that the chaylev is over here, says the Shittim Kobetz, according to Rashi, you never were Magbia, you never had Kinyan Yad. Because Kinyan Yad, by definition, needs to be more than three tvachim off the ground. Because if your Yad is within three tvachim, your Yad is on the ground.
Why don't you still have Kinyan chutzar?
Right.
No, that would depend on the case. But if, let's say I want to steal chaylev from your house. So I sit in your house, I walk in, I grab the chaylev, and I'm holding the chaylev like this. So I want to be kind of Geneva. So it says, Shin Mikubetz says that problem is not because I didn't lift it up. It's because my hand is too low. My hand is on the ground. So there's no Kinyan on the ground. And Echlam, if I throw the get to the Isha, the Isha's in her own Rishos, so then she'd have fallback Kinyan Chatzar anyways.
If I started out two Tvachim, and I only lifted it one Tefach,
not
so
sure.
Now I'm above three. All right, lifted one and a half.
At some point, right.
But I'm above three. So
not sure. It's not clear. So this is what he says. He says, "Avo kivin the linyan Shabbos chashivus rishos b'fnei atzma yulechei moyel ze agam kelin yikinyan." He says, "What's the pshat?" It comes out according to Rashi. Gavald gechidish. Rashi holds that if you're magbia, you need to be magbia because if not, it's considered lover to the karka. It's never off the ground.
So anything that's laying on a shelf above three tefachim.
Right. If I take it off already and it's already that matzav, it'll be good. He writes over here. So what's the obvious kashas? What about the back? So look at the last lines. Because one second, he doesn't explain. But if it's my bag is on the ground, that's okay. What do you mean? But my bag is considered monach bekarka. So if my bag would be in my husband's rishos, why is it any better? So he wants the tiny because a bag is my property. My hand.
So your hand, somebody else's hand is buckled to my karka,
right.
but your basket is
very not strange, right? Very strange. You would think the opposite.
Yeah.
He's saying that the yad becomes buckled to the karka. And if the yad is within Gimel Tvachim, it's considered on the karka. But a bag, he says, interesting lumnus. We would have thought Ibcha Mistavra, right? We would have thought a hand is so chash, a hand can't become buckled to the ground. But he's saying, no. If a person has a bag within Gimel Tvachim of the ground, the bag is mafrish l'shus la'atzma. It's an independent object. It does not become part of the ground. But a hand within Gimel Tvachim would be part of the ground. So that's how he wants to explain Rashi, which means the Lefiza comes out Gevaldik. Comes out according to Rashi, that you need Kinyan Yad not because you need to be magbiya the chayfetz. It's because if your hand is within Gimel Tvachim, your hand is not considered out of the ground. It's considered part of the ground. And therefore, it's not in your yad, it's on the ground.
And you're talking about being in the husband's room.
That's right. Now, comes along the Ktzais with a Gevaldige Chiddush. This is a Gevaldige Ktzais. Says the Ktzais, he wants to declare the following Shaila. Can a person be koine biyodoy shaloi midaitoy? Let's say a guy's outside and all of a sudden, something just flew into my hand.
Or he's sleeping.
Well, then it might be an issue of mishtameres. But yeah, okay, he's not focusing on what's going on. Right, he's on the phone, he's busy, and all of a sudden an object flies into his hand. Can he be koine shaloi midaitoy? So what about so that's the shaila of the Ktzais. Can a yad be koinish lemidaita? So the question is, what's the issue based on? Can I chotzer be kainish lamidaita? Let's say I'm not around. Guy goes on vacation. He leaves his chotzer, and things pile up in the chotzer.
But the chotzer could never be midas. Yad could be midas. Just,
maybe. Okay, you know good. I mean? Maybe. That's what you need to figure out.
But that's only if a yad, if the chotzer is kind of al-yad.
Good, exactly. Gewaldig. So writes the ktsoyis, v'nira. Zog the ktsoyis, reish tamaches. V'nira. The hard, the cause of the other. Kainish lamidaita midaito. The ktsoyis writes, that the Shulchan Aruch writes, that Adam, yodoy shel Adam kainish shalom midaito. That my hand could be kain without me knowing about it. You know why? Kol she came from chotzer. If my chotzer could be kain, shalom midaito. If my chotzer could be kain without me knowing about it, so my hand could do the same. So writes the ktsais. Says the ktsais, not so fast. He thinks that this should be told in a machoikis rishonim, which machoikis rishonim are sugya. Ksubas laman aleph. Why says the ktsais? The talia be machoikis rashi v'tois. The rashi kasa be perikimol the ksubas laman aleph. The hagbo afilu be yodei bein in shloish tefachim. Rashi said by us, if you want to be kind of yad, you got to be magbiya gimel tvach. None to talk about. You can't just be kind of by just being in your hand. The toisvis, sham hikshah, Rashi v'kasu, the chol should be yad, the entire hakbar shal shet tvachim. And toisvis held no. Something that's in your hand doesn't need gimel tvachim. So says the toisvis, what does that have to do with this? So give him kain. Kivin, the chol should be yad, like gar mechatsei roi. According to toisvis, how did toisvis understand yad? Toisvis understood yad is just like your chotzer. Therefore, just like my chotzer, if my chotzer doesn't need my das, my yad doesn't need my das. B'shem da'avi akli shalom v'kanyi medin mishusoi. The kivon d'levei Rashi mochach d'yodei ena kanyi medin mishusoi says the ktsois, but not so according to Rashi. Rashi has this hakpada. In order to be kanyi yad, you have to be magbia gimel tfachim. Do I have to lift up my chotzer gimel tfachim and the object falls into it? Of course not. So therefore, says the ktsois, it must be that according to Rashi, chotzer and yad work differently. Fundamentally, they're working differently. So he says, the mishusoi d'loi boyak bo shloisha. V'yodei boyak bo shloisha. Points out the ktsois, according to Rashi, every time I want to be kaina chavis with my hand, I have to pick it up three tvachim. I do not have to pick up objects that fall into my chatzah, the gimel tvachim. Guy drops the Amazon box in your backyard. You're kaina. There was no hagbah, yeah, so you don't need hagbah for chatzah. Yet Rashi says, if the guy were to drop the Amazon box in my hand, unless I'm magbi at gimel tvachim, I'm not kaina it. So clearly says the ktsois, yad and chatzah are not working the same way. Therefore says the ktsois, it comes out that according to Rashi, it's not so poshut that you'd be able to be kaina in your hand shalom midaitai. Because chatzah is kaina shalom midaitai. Chatzah also doesn't need hagbah gimel tvachim. So they're different sugyas. So that points out the ktsois, he thinks there's not only a lomdush and afkamina between Rashi and Tosfos, there's a halachic and afkamina.
Yeah, but maybe chatzah doesn't need hagbah because it's physically not,
okay. But doesn't that show you that they have to be working with a different lomdush? Meaning, according to Rashi, if the guy puts the package in your hand and you never magbi at gimel tvachim, or according to the Shidim Kobetz, says your hand is not gimel tvachim once again, you're not kain it. But the chotzer, you don't find such a din. So the tzais wants to say, it comes out according to Rashi, that the din of kinyan yad sholem midaitoi is not so poshut, according to Rashi. Because it could be, according to Rashi, there is no such thing of kinyan yad sholem midaitoi. I have kinyan yad sholem midaitoi by chotzer. Because chotzer works differently than yad.
And can you just explain shalom midaito on chotzer?
I mean, I'm not there. I don't know about it.
I understand that, but how does that work?
A guy throws something into my backyard, but me not there.
Right. So if somebody voluntarily puts something into my property, I'm koneid without even knowing that I
correct.
Have it.
Correct.
Unless it's bad for me.
Either it's bad for me or the area is not watched. Right. If a guy wants to give me a present and you tell him, okay, just drop it off in my backyard. He throws it in your backyard, you koneid.
So now it's yours. So if somebody steals it,
100%,
it's
100%.
Right. But what other situation that would have Kenyan would that apply to? Wouldn't apply to Geneva because you can't, right?
So that's what we saw already from Rashi, that for Geneva you have to do a Maisa Geneva.
Right. So what other than being Kona something that somebody intended you to be Kona with by putting it into your property?
Well, let's say an Aveda.
Just rolled in.
You got lucky. Your door's open and someone
blew it in.
Right. You got lucky. So the Chiddush is that you don't need Das to be Kona. So what about Yad? So the Ktsoi says, well, Yad is not the same as Chotzer. They work differently. At least in Rashi's world. Because in Rashi's world, in order for Yad to work, it needs a Hagbah. Chatzah doesn't need a Hagbah.
So by an Aveda, if it rolls into your property, it's yours. And right. So the person who really owns it, you don't have to give it back.
Well, again, if he was Miyayish and all the other criteria are met, right. And if he was Miyayish, he said, Oy vay lech hazor and kiss. And then it rolls into your backyard, that's yours. The basketball. The kid loses the basketball on Sunday and he says, forget it. His mother already ordered him another one on Amazon. It's ready there by Sunday night.
So that's yours. That there's a difference between Kenyan Chatzar and Kenyan Yad because Kenyan Chatzar doesn't work in every situation of Kenyan, like Geneva.
It does work with other criteria met. I mean, you have to have das to be created, but Yad Asa. I mean, if I pick up your object not knowing that it's yours, I'm not a ganav. I didn't know it was yours. It was an accident. Right. So Chatzar needs that also. So if I'm watching, if I'm in Florida and some guy, you know, wants to steal something, he throws it into my backyard, I'm not kind of that. I don't have anything to do with that. So you have to show that I want to steal. But once I want to steal it, then that's kind of just like anything else. Now, what's the big problem with the
Ketzayis? I don't even have to have a Kenyan. I don't have to do anything. You say, you know what, this coffee pot is for David
Portell. Someone has to make a Maisa Kenyan. I have to make the Maisa Kenyan for you. Here, the Chiddush is that my Chatzar is kind of for me. The Chatzar does the Maisa Kenyan on my behalf. Now, what's the problem with the Ketzayis Shtikl Torah? What's the Ketzayis basically saying? That Yad and Chatzar work differently. But what's the problem? It's against the Gemara. The Gemara says Chatzar is mitam Yad. Your Chatzar works like your Yad. But the Ketzayis just told me that my Yad and my Chatzar work totally differently.
Well, maybe it's the Chatzar can work like Yad, but Yad can't work like Chatzar.
No, but how do you read the Gemara? The Gemara says Chatzar mitam Yad. The way a Chatzar functions, it's the same way your Yad functions. No, it doesn't. My chatzar, I don't need to be magbiyah gimel tvachim. My chatzar is kainish shlemidas. My yad is not kainish shlemidas. My yad doesn't have kinyan. My yad needs kinyan gimel tvachim. So how could the Gemara say chatzar is mitam yad? So how do you read the Gemara? So Frekta Devar Avram, number 13, the great covenant Rav, number 13 asks, he says, Omnon lekushto de milsa amina. The Havanas had going act tzoyis b'shit mukubetzes das Rashi. The tzoyis understood the shit mukubetzes in Rashi. The chotzer omnom kainem mishum mishusay. Chotzer is kainem because of mishus. The yodei geriyah mechotzer shein kainem. And yad is worse. Ela mishum hagba. Meaning they want to learn Rashi that there's no such thing called kinyan yad according to Rashi. The only kinyan is kinyan hagba. There is no such kinyan called kinyan yad. It doesn't exist in our vernacular. What we have is something called kinyan hagba. That we do have. We don't have kinyan yad. So Frekta Tvar Avram, we don't have Kenyan Yad, so how is Chatzar mitam Yad? How could Chatzar be functioning like a Yad if a Yad doesn't really function on its own? A Yad only functions in the capacity of being Magbiyah, Gimel Tvachim.
Because it's the nature of a Yad and the nature of a Chatzar. In other words, the nature of a Yad is it doesn't stay immobile on the ground. You have to do it. Either you're going to pull it, you're going to raise it, you're going to do something.
And a Chatzar?
Physically,
Chatzar, the nature of a Chatzar is not going to move.
Right, so how's that
so
like Yad?
Everybody's working within their nature.
No, but the Gemara seems to be comparing it in the way it's the lumbus of how it functions. I mean, you want to say Chatzar mitam Yad is just a much more
the same way Yad doesn't stay still and you have to move it. Opposite, the Chatzar doesn't.
So, I mean, the Chatzar is really the opposite of Yad,
right? But doesn't move, but it's acting the way it's supposed to.
And Chatzar mitam Yad is the opposite, meaning Chatzar and Yad are opposite functioning types of kinyanim.
Correct.
That's what the Gemara means. The Gemara says Chatzar mitam Yad, Chatzar mitam Shlichus. So the Gemara. Yeah, you have to take a look really in Rashi, whatever it is, Daf Yural, how he teaches that. But the simple reading of that Gemara would sound like that they're working with the same background. Chotzmit, meaning, we have a pasuk in the Chumash that says Yadai works. Then we have a limo that Chotzah works. So Gemara wants to know, well, how does that Chotzah function? Under what lumdus?
Maybe it's that the Chiddush of Chotzer is that the traditional, like when you ask somebody, how do you acquire something?
Right.
Most people would say, you take it.
Right.
You hold it in your hand.
Right.
Right? So there are different rules that you need to meet
but
in order for Yad to work. Das, Hagbah.
No, but of course, actually, it's more than that. There is no such thing called being in my hand. Being in your hand doesn't make it yours. Lifting it through Tvachim makes it yours.
Right, but by your hand.
Oh, by lifting it through Tvachim.
So with your mouth or your foot would apply also then, right?
If you lift it, according to Rashi, if you were to lift it through...
You picked something up.
But that's not because it's Kinyan Reg, it's called Kinyan Hagbah. I mean, according to Rashi, according to the Tzais, there is no such thing Kinyan called Kinyan Yad. It doesn't exist. We don't find B'chol HaTorah Kula, things in your hands are Kinyan.
So the question on that is, and how do you except say for again, that Chatzar is Mitam Yad?
Exactly. There is no such thing called Yad. Yad is a fancy version of Hagbah. We shouldn't call it Kinyan Yad. We should call it Kinyan Hagbah. Right, that's the Dvar Rav's Kash. That's the Kovner Rav's Kash, number 2013. He writes.
It's just semantics.
Yeah, but the problem is the Gemara.
Kash on the Gemara?
It's a Kash on Rashi. The way Rashi's learning our Gemara, he put himself up against the wall. How he's going to learn the Gemara in Bava Metzia? Because if Rashi's convinced that there's no such thing called Kinyan Yad, it's only Kinyan Hagbah. So how are you going to learn the Gemara?
Chatzar? According to Taisus, we're just putting it into the.
According to Taisus, Yad is a fancy version of a Chatzar.
So get into your hand.
Right, and your hand is chatzar. Exactly. You don't need a lift. Your hand is your rishus. So Taisus is beautiful. Chatzar mitam yad. But Rashi learns no. Rashi has this pshat that yad is really hagbo gimel tfachim. So what do you mean chatzar mitam yad? What does it mean? Chatzar works like a yad. There's absolutely no similarity between a chatzar and a yad according to that's the Dvar Avram's kasha. So he writes l'niz daiti. He doesn't give an answer. He blib shver. He writes l'niz daiti avonazu einay nechayne klal. He doesn't think this is pshat in Rashi. He says udvarim atmiyim heim. It's a pella. How could it be that your hand works worse than a chatzar. How can your hand function less in the world of kinyanim than your chatzar?
You know, he's just saying, like, logically, if the Torah makes a chatzar work, it should surely make
exactly.
A yad.
I mean, if yad was the starting point, and the Gemara says chatzar works like a yad, so how could the chatzar be better than the yad? So he writes, how could it be? Amirim b'ma mitziya, the chatzar b'shem yad yisrael boy. And he goes to the whole Gemara. So he leaves off with a shver kasha. It's a very shver kasha. I don't know if we're going to get to the answer because it involves learning the whole sugya of chatzim etam yad, chatzim etam shlichas, which I don't think we're going to get into. But it's bringing out the point that Rashi is very difficult to understand in our sugya. Rashi seems to be learning that there is no such thing called kinyanyat. Every kinyanyat works with hagbah.
If somebody important said this, we would all be saying, well, that's really smart. So I don't know if it's that smart, but... Maybe Rashi just meant kinyan yad is just another way of saying hagbah. When you say hagbah, the normal person thinks that you pick something up.
Right.
So he used the word yad, but he didn't mean that it has to be with a hand. It meant any elevation of something, three tefachim, shows the kinyan. If you have das and all that.
No, but why do you need elevation three tefachim according to Rashi?
That's a different question.
No, but
that's part and parcel of what Rashi's telling us.
If yad is its own
entity,
kinyan, then why
right.
would you need...
Meaning, if you look at yad as a backyard... Why does Rashi have this hakpodo that, oh, it's less than three tefachim, you're magbia less than three tefachim? Forget three tefachim. Who is it saying the target three tefachim? So Teretz is Rashi holds, there is no such thing called being in your hand. That's not kinyan. It's only kinyan. If you lift it up, hakba is a kinyan. We have drushes for hakba is a kinyan.
But maybe that's not the point. Maybe there is such a thing as yad if it starts out above three.
That's the way Shinu Mugabet is Muslim, right? That's if you learn Rashi like the Shinu Mugabet says, that's a problem of lover, it's munach on the karka. Okay. Maybe it's later already. Okay, so we'll the next week we'll try to get down to the bottom a little bit more about this, and then we'll move on. We'll continue going. So you can tell everyone who didn't come. There was no Kim Levi Dramani talked at all. Come on. Okay, very good.